We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Hey, it's Hogan Johns, episode 134 of the podcast. And wow, it's been a crazy week at Halas Hall.
Yeah.
It has been.
Yeah.
And it's just getting weirder, to be honest with you. We have some breaking news to start this podcast. The Bears have made a big signing as we record on this Thursday morning. One day after bringing back Lamar Houston, the Bears have signed Chris Brzezinski.
The real question, Adam, is who is next?
Yeah, I mean, they're getting the band back together.
Yes. So, Ego Ferguson?
Could be. Is he on the street? Is he available?
Will Sutton? Is he still on the Vikings roster? I have no idea.
Right. I don't know.
Tracy Porter.
You could bring him back.
Who else do we got?
Why not go even deeper? Let's bring back our old friend Tim Jennings.
Ooh. Yeah. Your old friend, yes.
Yeah.
Just who else do we need back?
What are they doing?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. You fill out your roster with guys you're familiar with. You got young guys all banged up. It doesn't matter.
Well, I addressed the safety situation in my 10 Bears things. Adrian Amos has a hamstring injury. It didn't look good during the game. So he's probably not playing. So I would have thought that they would have activated DeAndre Hall, who is eligible to come off IR and started practicing last week.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the thing that made the most sense. Now, maybe he's not healthy, but
good old game shape, huh?
He better not be healthy, because if you're signing Chris Brzezinski over activating a second-year player who you supposedly liked, what are you doing?
Special teams. I don't know. Who cares, man?
Who cares?
They got three wins. Coaching shirts to cover in a couple weeks, man.
Oh, you're already moved on to January. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe. You can read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. We're on iTunes, we're on TuneIn, we're on the WGN Radio app and pretty much anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Just search Hogue and Johns. Before we start with anything with the Bears, I got to bring up something. All right, Joe Romano is our producer. So the way this works here is we record this in my house.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but Joe is back in the studio at WGN Radio at Tribune Tower. And so we have this thing that I dial into, so it sounds nice and good. And every week I dial in, Joe is listening to Jim Gaffigan. And I think it's great. I love it. So, Joe, I just what is this like a daily routine you have?
No, just kind of, you know, make sure that you guys
put him on the spot.
Yeah, make sure that you guys have audio, you know, going back so that you can hear something. I tried hip hop one time, and like I don't really want like cussing to happen, and I know Gaffigan is, you know, keeps it fairly clean. Plus, you know, you watch something like that, you just, I mean, I was laughing. I've seen that bit before, and I was laughing my ass off, you know. So it's just just something to lighten the mood a little bit and make sure that you know that I'm here.
And we need that now.
No, I appreciate it.
You know, we're at Halas Hall. The mood is tense. We need some laughter.
We do. And
brevity.
I got to be honest with you. I'm exhausted right now.
Did you work out?
I got the coffee. No, I was up till late finishing my 10 Bears things. I woke up early to cut up all the sound we're going to bring you. Because
when you're doing your 10 Bears things, do you ever just go, God, they're 3-8. I'm just going to do 7.
Yeah, I want to so badly.
Did you take 0.7? Yeah. Like, this could be 2.
Yeah,
like,
we could split these up.
Yeah.
This could be 5.
They don't deserve 10 of my thoughts right now. You ever just, no?
That is too many of my thoughts right now.
Mm-hmm.
I should be putting those thoughts elsewhere.
Yes.
Number eight. Reread number two.
There you go. See?
But look, here's the deal. For two bad football teams, this is an interesting game on Sunday. I find it very interesting.
Yes,
there's a lot of storylines, and they're...
Now, is it just us trying to
make... I don't think so.
I think it's a bit more compelling, but I think I just want it to be more compelling. you know what I'm saying?
I don't know that...
I'm wishing it into existence.
Right. I mean, I find the Robbie Gould thing very interesting. You'll hear from him in the podcast. I find the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff very interesting. Mm-hmm. You'll hear from him in the podcast. We'll also talk about Mitch Trubisky's mechanics. There's plenty of sound. I thought yesterday was actually a very interesting day at House Hall, for as much as, you know, things don't matter right now, things were actually pretty interesting. So we'll bring that all to you. First, though, voicemails, 312-222-5050. Those have been still flooding in every week, and we appreciate you calling in and chiming into the podcast. And Joey's been working hard on those. So here are this week's voicemails after the Bears' awful 31-3 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Hogan John's voicemail.
The Hogan John's voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Bob Dabrowski here. I'm riding my bike to Philly right now. Might be a little bit late to kick off, but, you know, we'll make it there. You, me, and the good Lord above. We all know the Bears win games that they shouldn't win, and they're going to win this game. Ticket to the bank, it's going to be 33-2. Bears give up a late safety, but I'm running out of breath here because I'm riding my bike. Like I said, let's go Bears.
Ben from Fort Collins, Colorado here. This is the worst f***ing half of football I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it's one thing to lose to the 9-1 Eagles, but to just come out with penalties to make Trubisky start within his own 5 repeatedly, just a f***ing joke. I'm so over this goddamn team. God,
Joe from Connecticut. I don't know how I'm going to watch this team play ever again. This is the worst team I've ever seen play offense. Over Jay Cutler, over Trestman, over Lovey's offense, Rex Grossman. This is the worst team to watch. Run, run, pass, then shank a punt. What is that?
Andrew from Pittsburgh. Bears-Eagles game was on TV, and it's bad enough that a lot of Bears fans couldn't even stand to watch, but now Fox is finally admitting that they can't let their viewers watch it because they took the game off the TV and put on a different game.
Alex from Florida. It looks like this team has given up. This team is getting blown out in the fourth, 31-3. You know, it's apparent that John Fox needs to go. I just want to see this team develop as the year goes on. Mr. Trubisky needs to develop.
Jeff from Quantum, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and this must be rock bottom because the Bears-Eagles game was on my local Fox affiliate today, and they just switched it over to the Jets game. I wonder if Fox will make it back to Chicago with a job.
Zach from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Can we just fire Fox already? We got rid of one of our biggest pieces of crap in the barf. Now it's time to get rid of the rest of the team.
Big Easy from Brooklyn. John Fox is just trash. The offense looks terrible. The defense looks terrible. It's just a hot mess right now. Everything is a dumpster fire. I mean, that coaching staff is just garbage. Everybody needs to go and they actually have some kind of f***ing knowledge. Please, because this shit is killing me. I don't even know why I'm a Bears fan anymore. F***ing garbage.
Joe and Fargo, good teams fumble into the end zone and recover it for touchdowns. Bad teams fumble out of bounds, challenge it, and give it to the other team. Hang in there, Bears fans. A few more games to go.
Jim from California, just wow, man. That was pathetic.
E from Dallas at Just a Bear Fan on Twitter. So let's get this straight. The Chicago Bears get blown out and embarrassed on national television by the Philadelphia Eagles, 31-3. We have -6 rushing yards from the number 3 rusher in the game. The airplane breaks down and we're stuck on the tarmac. We get to Holland Hall and smell week-old rotten sushi. John Fox is not fired. The players argue in the hallway and there's a fire in the dumpster. Wow. You know what? might as well just clap, because that is the best illustration for how our weak-ass season has gone.
John from Manuka, this is just pathetic. I turned on Harry Potter for my kids. I can't even watch this anymore. I'd rather watch Voldemort just destroy whatever town they're in. There you go. John Fox is Voldemort.
Voldemort.
Isn't that he who should not be named?
Yes.
Some people have used that with Mark Trestman. Like, don't bring up Mark Trestman's name.
No, call him Grey Cup champion Mark Trestman. Right. Get it right.
You show Mark Trestman the respect he deserves.
Yes.
In
yes.
Canada.
Hey. Speaking of madhouses, he ran one. He had a madhouse here with plenty of dust ups. Anyway. Good stuff, people. Good stuff.
We appreciate you doing that. Sorry, I'm in the middle of a Twitter argument with Danny Parkins as we record the podcast.
What are you guys arguing about?
It's not an argument. No, this is an interesting conversation, though. Just a sidetrack.
You're going to make me get on the old thing.
No. He I guess, talked to Sam, is it Monson from Pro Football Focus?
Yeah, the old Irishman.
And said that Akeem Hicks is playing at an, he's a top 10 D lineman, but not an all pro. And cited that he has 35 pressures compared to Aaron Donald's 65, was it?
Aaron Donald's like a that. Freak.
Well, and I just responded, though, but they're different. Akeem Hicks is a run stuffer first, who happens to also have 35 pressures, which I find really impressive. Aaron Donald's a three technique.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot the gap, get the quarterback.
Go upfield.
So yep. They're different, but that's fine. Yeah, here's the deal. I think Akeem Hicks is playing at an all-pro level. But mm-hmm. Pro Football Focus has a better idea how the rest of the league is playing.
Fair
enough. So maybe he's not actually an all-pro this year compared to other players.
Okay.
You know.
Can I say one thing about Pro Football Focus? They do a great job in terms of finding trends and breaking down certain statistical areas like play-action passes or passes to the right, all that stuff over the middle. But their grades and stuff like that, teams don't use them a lot.
Yeah, I think they're kind of maybe something they cross-reference. I like the advanced stats.
Yes.
I find the statistics...
Absolutely. I love it.
Very interesting, like pass rush productivity, things like that, which is still sort of a subjective because they're the ones determining what's a pressure and what's not. But, yeah, the grades, I tend to trust my own grades more than theirs.
Okay.
I don't even really look at theirs, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But
I don't think a lot of teams do.
I do think Pro Football Focus does a lot of good stuff. I just, the grades.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. What's next? The fight.
The fight? Say that again like that. The fight.
Big deal, not a big deal.
I think it's kind of a big deal when the guy involved in the argument, the shouting match,
got fired.
The sparring. Yes. Got kicked out of the building.
Now, of course, John Fox tried to downplay this.
No.
Oh, it happens on the sideline. It happens everywhere.
John, the guy got fired.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
You fired him.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. We were both all over this story yesterday. I'll start because I mean my cubicle at Hallis Hall is right in that corner.
Yep.
And to explain how the setup is that John Fox said he would like to redesign if he could. I'm not sure John Fox should be taking shots at upper management that designed Hallis Hall, though. Let me just throw that out there.
Again, he's going to do that for the rest of the week, you know, talking about I coach hard, our coaches coach hard. I'm like, God, get out of here. Like, he's stating his case again and again and again, and he's giving little jabs, you know, veiled shots at people that he works for now.
Whole another month.
This is where we're at now, people.
Yeah.
Just.
He said, I don't know if I would have designed Hallis Hall this way. Because here's the issue. Just to update the Chris Brzezinski news coming in right now. As we record, they have signed Chris Brzezinski and released Howard Jones. What was your favorite moment of the Howard Jones era? My favorite part of the Howard Jones era is that he looked a lot like Jarrell Freeman.
I don't know. I didn't talk to him.
All right, so back to the fight. The media room is connected to the hallway that all of the meeting rooms for the players are in, the position rooms.
Yes.
So there's not much difference between us and where the meetings take place. And it's a and there's also an emergency door right there that, you know, noise can go through because it's a door. It's not a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are locked in the media room for most of the day unless unless they let us out.
Yes, we are quite literally in cages.
Yeah, we cannot access.
You know,
we cannot go out of there.
You know, we get little cups to ring across the bars in case we get thirsty.
So I'm sitting there at my cubicle, which is in that corner of the room towards where we often hear noise. Like players walking down the hall, they're goofing around, they're yelling. We hear that stuff. And so I start to hear the little bit of noise. And but then it catches my ear because it sounds like serious. It's not like goofing around. So I walked over into that corner by the emergency door and listened in. And this was a full-on argument, an intense argument between two players with a lot of cussing. Significant cussing, I would say. So it did not seem like, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. I know arguments happen. I know disagreements happen. I think for the most part, they're civil, though, and productive. This was not what I would call a productive argument whatsoever. And obviously, the Bears felt the same way because Trey McBride got cut.
Yes.
All right. Now, his play in Sunday in Philadelphia was awful. And, you know, I'm sure if he was Kevin White, he wouldn't have been cut.
Yeah.
Right? But it was significant. So, I listening in, you know, Josh Bellamy is a guy who talks a lot. He is the most vocal player on the team by far. I was about 99% sure that I was hearing Josh Bellamy,
mm-hmm.
but without being able to actually
see. Very distinct voice.
Yeah.
Very distinct sayings.
Without actually seeing it, this is, you know, you got to do some reporting and verify and get it confirmed. And I didn't know it was Trey McBride. You couldn't even hear him until it got cut. And then, you know, you talk to a couple sources and get it all verified. So anyway, that's what I heard as this was unfolding. And then we kind of put the pieces together the last couple of days. So what else do you know about the fight?
Well, it started in the meeting rooms. And they were apparently going over the film of the Eagles game, which everybody should be fighting for how bad that was. That was brutal. That mm-hmm. was brutal. So what you have is a player in Trey McBride who played more because Josh Bellamy was concussed,
yeah,
right? But they've been kind of fluctuating in terms of playing time, both of them, right? In terms of, well, Bellamy's the better blocker, Trey McBride may be the better receiver, Bellamy gets open a lot.
And can I back up a couple weeks? Go back to the Packer game after the bye week.
Okay.
Trey McBride had a pretty good game in New Orleans.
Yes.
Now, Dow Loggins has tried to downplay that, saying they're like pre-designed plays that were designed to get him open, and he caught the ball. Congratulations. Yeah. That's not exactly how Dial put it, but he's multiple times brought that up that maybe that wasn't as impressive as it looked. Anyway, bye week, Packer game. Trey McBride, non-existent. That was the weird week where Josh Bellamy, after not playing on offense for weeks, suddenly randomly gets inserted into the offense.
I think he went from 14 offensive snaps to nearly all of them.
Right. And I remember
14 over 4 weeks.
And we killed the personnel for that week. We didn't understand it. We questioned it at Hallis Hall that week. And on this podcast, Vec, maybe we should have brought this back, but I'm 99% sure in that episode, I brought up the idea of if we can bring up these questions and we're confused by it, what do you think the players feel?
Yep.
How do you think the players feel? More specifically now with some context, how do you think Trey McBride felt?
Probably a bit PO'd.
So one source, and I wrote this in my 10 Bears things, did say to me that they were not surprised that these were the two players involved. Sort of indicating that it may have been brewing.
Yep.
So fast forward to this week, you brought up how McBride got the majority of the snaps. Josh Bellamy didn't even make the trip. So there they are in the meeting room watching tape.
And we'll just say that there were excuses being made. And people didn't like hearing that. And one of them decided to get very vocal with his disagreements of the excuses being made. And long story short, carried over into the hallway. And we all, you especially, heard the, what's called a meltdown.
It's not really a fight.
Like a simmering.
It's not like Bobby Portis punching Miritich.
You know, like you said, it's some great context. This has been kind of bubbling, simmering. It's on the coaches to rectify this, have not rectified this. Of course, they say this all in the name of competition, but obviously this got out of hand. Obviously they didn't like it. Obviously it comes at a time when they've lost four straight. They got a lot of speculation about who's coming, who's going in terms of coaches. Bad look. Not only for McBride, whatever. You know, he has every right to be frustrated. But a bad look for the team.
Mm-hmm. And you got to hope that it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the deal. I go back to what I just said about the playing time, and I can't imagine McBride is the only one in that room that's questioning things.
Yep.
Or
yep.
was questioning things. Yep. He's no longer in that room. Or just even on the team. I've said this multiple times. If we're questioning this, if the fans are questioning it, how do you think the players in that locker room feel?
Mm-hmm.
Usually when this is going on, they're frustrated too. That's why this stuff starts to happen. So I get back to the idea of, okay, I imagine that McBride's not the only one kind of wondering why Josh Bellamy has been getting so much playing time. And part of the reason why McBride probably pushed back was, hey, man, it's not like you're Jerry Rice questioning my route running or my blocking. Right.
They all see the drops.
Right.
A lot of tape on Josh Bellamy's drops.
So then McBride is the one who gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't really know who was right and wrong,
right,
for the record. But one guy lost his job, the other didn't. So are there other players in that room? I don't know, but I think this is a fair question to ask. Are there other players in the room that are wondering, did that guy really deserve to lose his job over this?
Not only in that room. I mean, you're talking about the meeting room?
I'm talking about the locker room.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole locker room.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think everybody's a bit puzzled right now, and not just by this, but by a lot of things going on. You know, this is when things really start to implode on the team, and this is just the first argument to surface. I'm sure there's been others. And let's add more context to it. I mean, Josh Bellamy is a John Fox guy. He has won him over to the 10th degree. You ever see Josh Bellamy's like Instagram account? I know I'm the guy who follows all that. I mean, Fox is in it a lot.
Yeah.
They're very chummy. Fox will defend him. He'll probably be asked about him today. He'll defend Josh thoroughly.
Well, I found it interesting that the way this was brought up in the press conference yesterday with John Fox was the first question was just very simply, why did Trey McBride get caught? Didn't mention the fight. At that point, you know, Fox was going to play very coy and not even bring it up if it didn't have to come up. So he said they were just turning the roster. And then he mentioned Josh Bellamy by name. Like, oh, it'll probably create some more playing time for Josh Bellamy.
Yep.
I just found that very interesting.
Yep.
Then the follow-up brought up the fight. So my point being that John Fox knew what happened. He knew that Trey McBride and Josh Bellamy got in this argument. And before the fight even gets mentioned, he brings up Josh Bellamy as the guy who's going to replace McBride. Yeah. Like, that was like, there's no question that Bellamy and Fox are tight as hell.
So
you don't mess with this guy, apparently.
In order to play for the Bears, you just have to win arguments in the hallway.
I guess. And if you want to keep your job, don't get in a fight with Josh Bellamy.
Yeah. It's, again, nice special teams player. He gets open, but there's nothing reliable there.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to make too big of a deal out of this, but usually where there's smoke, there's fire. When you're 3-8 and going through a disappointing season where the head coach is likely going to get fired, this stuff happens. This is not quite to the level of what happened when Aaron Cromer, Mark Trestman, Jay Cutler in 2014, but this was about the time where that stuff started to brew.
Well, there were dust-ups in that locker room late in the year. Remember Jeremiah Ratliff and Jordan Mills? That was like the last week of the season
Yeah.
where we literally could not go into the locker room because they were going at it. They like re-signed Roberto Garza that day.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? That was an odd day. And so having that as our background.
I still wonder if that was like just a distraction.
Like,
let's to get everyone's mind off of what happened.
Yeah, what was going on in that locker
yeah.
room. It's been an interesting place. I mean, it's had a lot of turnover. Again, not too long ago, some of your best players were some of your worst players, if that makes sense
yeah.
to you. And look, John Fox, he fixed some of that. He served his purpose. But when you're 3-8, after going 3-13, obviously it wasn't enough. Obviously there's going to be frustrations, and obviously there's going to be heated arguments amongst players.
Well, and his only saving grace, if we were to say there's a 99% chance that he's getting fired, The 1% would be that the locker room loves him, and he's kept it all together, and you know that's enough to keep his job. I think what we've learned in the last 3 days that that's not the case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just not looking good for him right now. All right, should we get to some actual football? If there's some good news, Danny Trevathan looks like he's going to come back this week. Now, I would bring up one caution. We have seen a number of players come back from injury this year, and the first game back, they barely play.
Yep.
So while Trevathan has come out and said he talked like he's playing, John Fox seemed to talk like he's playing. We saw Kyle Long come back and be only used in emergency situation. Didn't Marcus Cooper have that deal too?
God, he didn't play in defense last week, Marcus Cooper. Yeah. Anyway.
And then there was one other player. Oh, Nick Witkowski, his first week back, was only used as an emergency player. So, you know, hopefully the Bears have Danny Trevathan. They need his speed. They need his experience. There have been cracks. I don't think Christian Jones, Nick Witkowski have been playing poorly by any means, but it's just different.
Well, they've been playing fine. It's just Danny Trevathan brings order.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Christian Jones, who's been handling the signals, it's maybe not his forte. Or maybe it becomes it in a couple of years, but we're not to that point yet. Yeah. Danny Trevathan knows the defense. He knows how to get things communicated fastly and correctly, quickly and correctly, I should say. And Christian Jones does not. Good player, but he's not your defensive signal caller right now.
Meanwhile, Adrian Amos talked about him. Hamstring doesn't look good for this week. Big reason why they went out and signed Chris Pruszynski. Okay. And then Josh Sitton dealing with
nothing against – look, nothing against Chris Pruszynski.
Nice guy.
Great locker player. Good special teamer. Maybe you need that. Maybe because Josh Bellamy's going to play more in offense. Anyway, connect the dots, Adam.
It's getting ugly.
McBride's out. Bellamy's playing more in offense. You need a special teamer. Chris Pruszynski. Connect the dots. Come on.
Buy your tickets now.
Yes. Or sell. Or sell.
Whatever you can get for him right now. Okay. Let's talk about what matters going forward. It's the quarterback.
Yeah.
No question.
This is where Joe says, please read point number two again.
Yeah. Go back to number two. I think this was thing number two in my 10 Bears things.
See, I read it.
Yeah.
Go read point number two.
So we got to number eight. We went back to number two. I like this. All right.
Full circle.
I've brought up this point a couple times the last few days. A lot of people just freaking out about Mitch Trubisky's game.
Yeah.
It was not good. It was not a good performance on Sunday.
No.
But here's the deal. We've gone over the poor wide receiver play.
Yeah.
And Loggins did not hold back when he talked about the wide receivers.
No.
You're very critical yesterday. The play calling, too, I think we've all wondered about. The personnel we've wondered about. And his running game, the running backs accounted for -6 rushing yards.
Yeah.
So what quarterback is going to perform well in those situations?
Well, none.
I don't even think Tom Brady would have had a good game. And I'm being dead serious. Mm-hmm. So, and he's the best team in the league. So let's just throw that game out, all right? Except for one thing. The mechanics, they need to be fixed. So you don't completely throw it out. I think you throw away the results. But the mechanics are something that need to be addressed because it's not just this game. They have popped up. In fact, at halftime on Sunday, I referenced some of my scouting notes I had going back to his UNC days last year. I had specifically written down in a couple games, including the Pitt game off the top of my head, I'm remembering this, that his mechanics in the pocket are not always sound.
Right.
That the delivery kind of got out of whack sometimes. What we saw Sunday was some of those issues pop up, and Loggins actually even referenced it yesterday with the college stuff.
Yeah, now here's the difference. Call him Hoppy, right?
Yeah.
Here's the difference, I think, between a Trubisky and a Jay Cutler. I think there's a willingness in Trubisky to go through the extensive work to make it second nature.
Yeah. It's also still early enough in his career to
Yes. Carson Wentz last year went through a complete overhaul of his mechanics. Did you see his pregame workout, by the way?
Yeah, he actually at one point practiced that spin move that he put on Crave on the block.
Yes, so you make it second nature, and it was relentless before the game, right? Numerous people pointed it out to me, and I saw some of it. I didn't know what went on that long.
Yeah.
Someone told me for an hour and a half.
Wow. Well, you got to drill it. It's got to be muscle memory.
Yeah, absolutely. So in time, give him time, because he seems to have the right mindset, and he seems to know it's an issue.
Yeah. It's also tough because he's constantly under pressure. He's getting no help. It's an awful situation.
It's a bad situation for him, yes.
So all you can do is work on it, and hopefully the season ends soon.
Yes.
Anyway, here is kind of a montage I put together from both Mitch Trubisky and Dow Loggins talking about the mechanical issues. It's very interesting and all very real. So it starts here with Mitch and kind of goes back and forth.
I had bad footwork in the game, and usually that leads to bad accuracy and then timing. So a lot of those throws in the game are throws that I make, and I throw on time. And because of bad footwork and bad timing, it caused a couple throws to be off. And it's just me and the receivers getting back on the same page, really grooving our timing, me getting my footwork down, and just doing exactly what I'm coached to do. So that'll make for better results this Sunday.
There were a couple things. You got caught bouncing a little bit. You know, it was a tendency he had in college. We talked to him a lot about keeping his shoulders and head still, and he did get hoppy a little bit. And there were some throws that were errant because of that, and something we're going to keep working and grinding on that way.
Just not doing what I was coached to do. Overthinking. Or not being focused, just not doing the right footwork. There might not be no particular reason. It's just some plays I did the perfect footwork, and other times it was off by a step. Other times it was a bucket step where I'm not in line. Other times I'm fading in the pocket, moving when I don't need to move because of the rush. And sometimes you feel those kind of things as a quarterback, but you just got to fix them, and I will.
Sometimes when a quarterback is under duress as much as Mitchell was, that he does maybe revert to some of the college things. Is that something that can happen there?
It can happen. I'm not saying that's why. I don't really feel like that we need to give him an excuse on that. He needs to, you know, it's just a grind of doing it every day and keep working at it. And, you know, the good thing is it gives him something to work really hard at this week. And he knows it's a problem. He knows when he comes to sideline, if he ever misses his throw because he's an accurate guy, why it happened or make sure that we continue to work on that through that process.
Definitely set aside some time this week, stay after practice, get out there earlier, work with my coach, and get the footwork down, because it's got to get fixed for sure.
I think it's a process. It's an ongoing process. It's when obviously him acknowledging that he's doing it is a big step to fixing it. But when you get in the heat of the game, like, it's all the time and all the work that you've done in the off season, in practice, that it becomes muscle memory instead of thinking about those things. And sometimes in a game when it's going like that, you have to go back to the fundamentals and, hey, go get a completion right here. Think about your footwork. Make sure you're going through the right progression. Make sure your eyes are on the right spot. And, those things we can help him in game, and it's going to be a process and just continue to work through it. A
couple things in there. First of all, I like that Dow said, don't want to give Mitch an excuse for that. He has brought up excuses, fair ones,
mm-hmm.
talking about the wide receivers not helping him, other things that have gone on protection-wise sometimes, and he's also said sometimes where he can help Mitch. But he also, there have been a few times where he's like, no, that's not an excuse. He needs to figure that out. So I do like that part, and mechanically, it's true. You heard Mitch talk about a bucket step. What that refers to, there's a phrase called stepping in the bucket, when you're stepping into your throw. And it's kind of like you kind of get stuck if you're stepping in a bucket and your hips get stuck and they don't turn the right way and you just don't throw the ball correctly. So that's a common term with quarterbacks and a common problem for young quarterbacks. So that's what he was referring to there, and it's just something that's got to get fixed.
It's not just on Trubisky to fix it, though. They need to relentlessly drill this into him, and they should have months ago. I know they changed his footwork, his dropbacks from college. He really didn't even have to drop back, to be honest with you. It was a 1-2 steps because he was in shotgun most of the time in North Carolina. But this is, you see some of the best ones, and they do this religiously, the fundamental work and stuff like that. The Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees's, now the Carson Wentz's. I mean, fundamentals, footwork is something they again, religiously, it's how they approach it. And
you have to be obsessed with it.
Yes, because it does help with timing and your delivery. And I get that Trubisky was a lot of these guys like Aaron Rodgers, they make awkward throws because you have to, because there will be pressure. Pressure will change your footwork. You will have to throw off your back foot sometimes. You will have to throw on the run when you don't want to. Trubisky has some of those, or at least on tape he has shown he could do some of those things. But there's a quarterback coming to town, one who was born and raised here, or at least in Rolling Meadows, in Jimmy Garoppolo, who is known for his fundamentals, who is known for his footwork, and it goes all the way back to Eastern Illinois, his quick release. Everybody loved his quick release coming out of Eastern Illinois. He is fundamentally sound and has been for a long time.
We'll get to more on Garoppolo in a second, but one thing I just loved about Garoppolo that year at the Senior Bowl was that offense he was running at Eastern Illinois was all shotgun. He had, you know, similar to Mitch, you know, never really been under center. And at Senior Bowl, they run pro-style stuff. I mean, you get there and you're expected to go under center. And that's why I think there's a ton of benefits to going to the Senior Bowl. Now, Mitch couldn't go because he was underclassman, but Jimmy picked all that up in like a day. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And it was all three. There's three main days that we get to watch practice. And the first day, you saw a couple struggles. It looked a little awkward. By day two, he looked like he had been doing it for years. And that was one of the reasons why I fell in love with him right away. Because I was like, this dude is picking things up very, very quickly.
Well, here's the thing. He had been doing it for years. His quarterback's coach, Jeff Christensen, who's a former pro, runs an academy out in the western suburbs. Kirk Cousins, quarterback's coach, Ryan Tannehill, does a bunch of guys across the league. He's been doing this, these fundamental drills, eliminating bucket steps.
So you're saying he was working on all that stuff like outside, even though the Eastern Illinois offense wasn't calling for it. He had been doing it.
Oh, yeah. And Jeff Christensen has remained his coach, his private coach, to this day. The fundamentals, you know, again, the footwork and how it affects your delivery. He's got it. It's ingrained in him. It's muscle memory. It's second nature to him right now.
You look at Carson Wentz, and if you watch him closely, it almost looks exaggerated the way he goes from left to right. Like his whole body, you know what I'm talking about? Like it looks like very robotic almost, like almost awkward. But he's actually doing it the right way. He is just doing it so.
He's kind of long.
Yeah.
He's built differently than some quarterbacks.
But you could just skinny. Just tell, though, he doesn't really care what it looks like. He is doing it properly. He is determined to do it properly. And it, for the most part, works. Although I will say, you know, going back watching the film, Wentz actually had one of his worst games.
Yeah.
He missed some throws high, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people, I understand why a lot of people like John DeFilippo for the Bears because of the work he's done with Carson Wentz. The only thing I'm going to say is let's not fall completely into the trap of has to be an offensive guy, has to be a quarterback guy. That's who they got to hire as head coach because you still have to be able to manage a locker room. We learned this from Mark Trestman. It's a lot bigger of a job. You have to be able to hire the right assistants. You have to put the right support staff in, and you have, more importantly than just focusing on the quarterback and the offense, you have to manage a locker room.
Yeah.
You have to also be able to make the right calls during the game. There's a lot more that goes into the head coaching job.
Well, I'll say this. If they do go, say, like a Dennis Allen or somebody like that, Matt Patricia, he better be more open-minded offensively than the current head coach. Willing to do different things, willing to implement a game plan that's built around the quarterback and not so much a running game. I get that the running game is a great, it's the quarterback's best friend. I get that. I get all that. But the quarterback's the most important player on your team. Yeah. So if they do, and I think Dennis Allen, he's with New Orleans right now, I think he gets it. Obviously, because of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. So maybe that's why he could be a candidate down the road.
Should we talk more about Jimmy G?
Sure.
Jimmy Garoppolo, we had a chance to talk to him on a conference call yesterday. By the way, quick shout out to the 49ers PR staff.
Awesome.
The way these conference calls work, we get the head coach and we get a player. This year, they actually said that teams are not required to do the conference calls if they don't want to. Not only did the 49ers give us Robbie Gould, they also gave us Jimmy Garoppolo. They realized that there was actually two big storylines here involving their team back here in Chicago, and they made it happen. So, I mean...
Oh, clap, clap, clap.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jimmy was literally in a meeting. This was like beyond 7 o'clock last night, locally our time. Obviously, it's 2 hours time difference back in San Francisco. But he was in a meeting. We were waiting for him, and he still made time. And you know, he even apologized for making us wait. Jimmy's a really good dude.
Yeah.
He is, yeah. And that's why a lot of people like him. Anyway, but this is part of his conference call. I narrowed it down a little bit, and you know what? I'm not going to lie. I made it sound like I interviewed him. It was like a 10-minute conversation, so I narrowed it down. And I had some specific questions that I wanted to get to him. So here's the bulk of that, starting with a question that actually someone else asked. Did he grow up a Bears fan?
Of course I was a Bears fan. I had obviously the Urlacher jersey, but I had the A-Train jersey as well.
What are the emotions as you prepare for this game at Soldier Field, knowing that it's in your hometown?
You know, it's exciting. It really is. You know, I got a lot of family and friends going. They're just as excited as I am. So, you know, it's going to be a fun opportunity. Good challenge for our team. You know, the Bears have a talented roster, a good defense. And so it's going to be a good challenge for us.
Obviously there had been trade rumors, with you for a long time. What was it like when you finally got notified that, hey, this is happening and you got to go across the entire country and learn a whole new offense? Just what was that whirlwind like for you?
Yeah, whirlwind is a good way to describe it. I mean, I found out, I forget what time, but it was late at night, and I left early the next morning. So I really didn't even get all my stuff packed up, grabbed a couple suitcases, and before I knew it, I was in California. So it was it was a crazy experience. You know, coming into the NFL, you never really know what road you're going to take or how everything's going to work out for you. But I'm glad how it worked out.
Is there anything you can take from those practices you had against the Bears last year? Or is it just so long ago and such a different roster?
You know, there's little things here and there, you know, scheme wise or something like that. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the roster has changed. You know, they have new players in different positions and obviously injuries and all that stuff. So, you know, any opportunity you get like that to remember things that you heard or, you know, did against them or they did against you, it always helps. But, yeah, I mean, that was a pretty long time ago.
Now that the trade has actually happened and you're on a different team, maybe you can be honest with us for a minute. And how much did you actually wonder if you would end up as a Bear? John Fox and Dow Loggins have both told us that they liked you, and there was always that Ryan Pace, Eastern Illinois connection, whatever that was worth. How much did you actually think about that when you knew your name was out there?
To be honest, I never really thought about it. I get asked this question a ton, but I mean, I really had no control over any of it, you know, so I always get fans coming up to me and they're asking, when I was in New England, they would ask me, why do you want to get traded? And it wasn't that I wanted to or I didn't want to. I didn't have control over it. So it was, you know, being a quarterback in this league is hard enough. So when you start worrying about things like that, I mean, you got no chance. So, you know, I've had a pretty good, done a pretty good job of staying focused and, you know, just focusing on football mainly.
I tried.
Did a nice little interview.
I know, right? Isn't that the magic of a sound editing? Yeah, I could take a 10-minute conference call with a bunch of reporters and make it sound like I interviewed him one-on-one.
Yeah. Pull the exclusive. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Hit the applause button again. Congrats.
I'm just out here, you know, working hard, mm-hmm. trying to get through the season.
I hear you.
Yeah. Not thinking about anything else. Mm-hmm.
And love media.
thanks, Josh.
Yeah. So anyway, I tried there. You got to think.
No, you succeeded.
He's still not willing to say that. Yeah, you know, I was wondering if I'd be a Bear. Mm-hmm. Of course, he had to.
Yeah.
It's just human nature.
Yes.
This is a pretty cool storyline, though. So, by the way, what's he doing in the A-Train jersey?
He's rookie of the year, Adam.
Dude, look the. Biggs asked him if he had a Josh McCown jersey.
That's one of the best Bears running backs of all time.
Yeah. And then he, like, went away forever.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Anyway, never been to a Bears game, though.
Yeah.
Never been to an NFL game at Soldier Field. So his first Bears game, he will be the opposing quarterback. I think that's cool.
Yep, yep. I think, well, he changes the matchup a bit, huh?
Like, I think he's the better quarterback in this game.
Well, he should be. Yeah. But let's make one thing clear. He should be. He spent 3.5 years under Tom Brady. He's been in the NFL longer than Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky may have more starts, but I don't think the experiences are the same.
Look, fair or not, the 49ers and the Bears storylines are not going to go away anytime soon.
No.
They're the team the Bears pulled off this draft day trade with to get Trubisky at number two. And the 49ers ended up with Garoppolo for an early second-round pick. Now, I've had people ask me this week, well, should the Bears have just given up the number three pick for Garoppolo?
That wasn't on the table back then.
I disagree. I think the Patriots would have taken the third pick.
Really? I thought, my understanding was they weren't taking anything from anybody because they needed to fill out the Tom Brady situation. They weren't ready to part with Brady until actual football games.
Well,
Garoppolo until actual football games were played.
I was told the same, but, and Schefter was all over that too, which you know it's true, so forget us. Schefter was reporting that. But I was also told that if you really wanted to get him, you probably could. And I read that as, well, if you're willing to offer the number three pick, you could probably
get it. Well, it would have been three and probably.
Maybe more.
You're two threes and you're four.
But that's the thing. The Bears did end up trading the number three pick for a quarterback and gave up two other picks.
But here's the thing. Like, if the Bears were willing to part with number three, don't you think maybe the 49ers, who love them some Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan raved about the kid,
yeah,
that they would have put the number two out there? Or that somebody else...
But I think they read the situation...
Just like the Bears did.
Well, I think they realized that, you know, the Patriots at some point were going to have to move them, that they couldn't just sit on them forever, and that if they waited, they knew they weren't going to win this year anyway. Mm-hmm. If they waited, they could get Garoppolo for a lot less, and they did. If the Bears had traded a number three pick, we never would have known what the real value was.
Yep.
But it turned out the real value was an early second, so they would have been overpaying. We never necessarily would have known that, but that's how it turned out in reality.
Yep.
So, you know, it just is what it is. The 49ers ended up with him, and they still got Solomon Thomas. I think there's a – look, this is going to play out over time. But
well, there's.
I'm willing to give Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch credit for the way this is all played out.
I don't think there's any – I don't think it's any guarantee that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the long-term fixture there.
Well, that's the part of it. And look, we did our podcast in print this week on the subject of comparing the 49ers to the Bears and which team you would rather be right now. And ultimately, if I had both players at number one and the number one pick, and those were the two players I was picking from, I'd probably take Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I would probably take Garoppolo. But if you're going to ask me which quarterback situation is a franchise right now, I think the Bears are in a better spot because the 49ers look like they have to franchise Garoppolo this year.
Yeah.
And that's only for 1 year, and then you're going down this Kirk Cousins type road, and you don't know what's going to happen. The Bears at least have Trubisky, who I also like.
He's under control.
Under control for a while.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, he doesn't have to accept the franchise tag, knowing that there could be some teams out there that want to bid for his services. You know, he could really force the 49ers' hand, especially if he plays well.
Well, wait a minute. How does that work? You have to take the tag.
No, you don't.
You just hold out then.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
no, you don't have to sign the tag.
They'd still win the deal then. I mean, because the 49ers would get two first-round picks or whatever the compensation.
Yeah. Does someone give up two first-round picks for him now? I mean, that's...
You never know.
Yeah.
There's certain teams like the Denver Broncos who are quarterback hungry, think they have a winning roster still.
Hmm.
He doesn't have to accept the tag, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that could explain why the 49ers have been unwilling to play him.
Yes.
I read a story earlier this week that just the kind of the cap ramifications and the salary ramification. You know, if he goes out and balls out these last five games, the price goes up.
Right. So the whole situation is, well, it's worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how it's going to play out. Now, I think the best case and maybe the likely case is that it all works out for the 49ers, but you don't know that.
Yeah. For more on kind of the comparisons between the Bears and 49ers, our podcast imprint is up on ChicagoSunTimes.com, so you can read that there. We went into more than just the quarterback situation, also the coaching situation. Some might like Kyle Shanahan. Others might like the idea of, hey, you have a blank canvas here from the coaching perspective. You can go out and make the right hire. But it better be the damn right hire.
Right, right.
So anyway, here's the other, and we should get to our picks here and move this thing along, but the other big storyline is Robbie Gould's homecoming.
Yes.
And I mentioned that we got to talk to Robbie Gould yesterday, too. So here's that conversation with Robbie Gould, starting with the question, how have the last two seasons been different?
It really hasn't been any different between my tenure in Chicago and here. You know, I took 6 weeks off last year, turning down jobs and opportunities because I wanted to go to the right place with the right fit. And I really wanted to win, kind of waited for the New York job to come around. And so I got the opportunity to go there. I tried out in Dallas last year, the week prior. The last 2 years have been really great. You know, I've had a lot of great coaching. And a lot of awesome players around me, and it's been a unique experience, but also been fun to get back to playing at a high level.
Do you think the feeling will be different Sunday as opposed to when you played them last year as a Giant, because that game, you know, was at MetLife? Will the feeling be a little different because the game's back in Chicago?
I'm pretty excited to be in front of the fans, I'm not going to lie. I love those fans. I love the organization, like I said. I'm excited about playing in front of them. Last year, I think I made it a little too emotional of the game. And obviously, that was my worst game in my last 2 years. So I'm trying to take a different approach this week and just focus on what I have to do. I had a great pregame. You know, games like this are really difficult because you're going to play in an area, whether it's away or home, and you have a lot of friends. You're going to have a lot of people coming up and talking to you. It's not like a normal pregame. It's not like a normal routine that you go through. You know, in New York last year, someone was hugging me every kick in the pregame, and I had a great pregame. Then I went out in the game and didn't have the game that I would like to have. So the weather's going to be a lot different than last year. Obviously, it's not going to be 50-mile-per-hour winds, I don't think. But at the same time, you know, it's just something that I think you grow from, and you see a lot of players that go through it that might not have their best game because those situations are difficult, and they're difficult to go back to. But I think I learned a lot from last year, and I'm excited to get back to Chicago, and it should be a fun game.
When you look back at how everything went down last year, I know you said there's no hard feelings, but do you wish anything had been handled any differently?
No, I said that when I left. You know what I mean? Like, I wish those guys nothing but the best. John Fox, Ryan Pace, Jeff Rogers. You know, I wish for my teammates that they win more football games. You know what I mean? I wish that the organization would win a Super Bowl. Like, that, those are goals that I had when I was there. And, you know, I don't wish any bad or ill will on anyone there, you know? And, I have no animosity. I mean, if you look back at the 11 years I spent there, the only thing I didn't accomplish as a Chicago Bear was win a Super Bowl. And I told Mrs. McCaskey that I was sorry for that. And I deeply mean that. And I was in the pursuit of that in New York last year, and that was driving me here in San Francisco. So, I mean, I have no hard feelings, no bitterness, and I wish them nothing but the best.
Have you gotten to know Garoppolo at all? What's he like?
Yeah, he's a great kid. A lot of talent, awesome guy in the locker room. You know, obviously grew up in Chicago, right down the street where I live. So it's kind of unique to be able to have another Chicago guy in the locker room and talk about, you know, Chicago things, because Chicago will be home for me when I'm done playing football. And you know, I'm excited for him to go back home and get a start, his first start as a 49er.
How's he looked in practice?
You'll find out on Sunday.
Oh, come on. Oh, boy. All right.
JD.
He wanted the dirt on Jimmy G.
Yep. Yep.
I like that answer. He'll find out on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, he's hoping to.
How many touchdowns does Jimmy G throw for?
Well, he's got some receivers.
I'd rather be in his situation Sunday than Mitch's.
You get Pierre Grisson, got a rookie tight end who's catching some balls, and George Kittle. Yeah. And he's got Kyle Shanahan. I think it helps.
More breaking news, actually. It's just, this podcast is full of it. Quinton Demps returning to the practice field today. He is eligible to come off of IR. He's the second player the Bears are doing this with, joining DeAndre Hall, both safeties. I would say that the bigger news, not that this is surprising whatsoever, but this means that Kevin White will not return
right,
this season.
Right.
We all expected that. No one really thought he would be, but it's been sort of lingering out there. And but that you're not allowed to do this with more than two players. So it's been done, and Kevin White is not returning.
I was
this year.
Oh, I was skeptical anyway because we didn't see him forever.
Yeah,
and so he's been around a lot more. So I'm like thinking, oh,
well, he traveled to Philly.
Yes, he was out there to talk, but he wasn't doing anything. He was just out there, you know, talking.
I wonder how much that had to do with Alshon.
Want to see his buddy?
Yeah,
Alshon comes to Chicago a lot though. He's got a place downtown.
I also think that. Kevin's been training with Cam.
Yes, they've been going to where? Arizona?
In Houston.
Houston.
So, yeah.
Well, for Demps, this is actually quite interesting because he gets to prove his worth again. Because I thought with Adrian Amos kind of taking his spot and him being an injured reserve that he was turning into a one-year guy even though he had a three-year contract. Now his contract is built to be a one-year deal. But he gets to show that he could still play, I guess, in a sense, even though Adrian Amos, I think, kind of stole his job back.
Yeah, but they need – I mean, Amos, I'm telling you, the hamstring, it wasn't just like, oh, I pulled up lame. He was limping around pretty good.
Right.
Not sure.
No, I'm just saying now Quinton Demps gets a chance to prove his worth all over again.
Sure. And he is a team captain, technically. Was voted a captain at the beginning of the year. So, anyway, we'll see how that all goes.
So is Mike Glenn.
Should we move on to this actually? So is Mike Glenn. Oh, you kind of forget about Mike Glenn. And yet, if Mitch missed one snap, Mike Glenn would be the one coming in. How would that go over?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about it. Like, what if, like, Mitch has to get checked out on something? Nothing serious. We won't go that dire, but...
Yeah, even if it's just a few plays.
And Mike Glennon has to come in.
Throws a touchdown.
I hope it happens on Christmas Eve. Just, you know, again, Mitch is okay. It would just be so fitting for the season. And again, like, not to throw fuel on the fire that's, you know, the Bears right now, you know.
I don't know. No.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right, should we move on to this actual game?
I guess.
Bears 49ers, but first. What does the Fox say?
Well, they actually had more penalties than we did. Yeah. You know, so I don't know if that really means a lot. What the Fox
say? It doesn't mean a lot.
He also.
What a bad answer that was.
He also forgot calling a timeout. In when they were stuck on the goal line or stuck on the one or whatever. Remember that?
Yeah.
Did we call a timeout there?
They called timeout at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, he couldn't remember that.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you call timeout at the 1 yard line. A penalty costs you a foot and a half. There were 30. There was also 30 seconds on the play clock there.
Yeah.
The helmet still worked. You couldn't rush another player on the field, yeah. Or is that illegal at that point?
Well, the best part about that is, as Fox was asked about, but he didn't. He said they had it sorted out after the punt team started coming out.
Yeah.
The long snap.
And he basically threw those guys under the bus. He goes, yeah I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah. It's just bad. Yeah,
And by the way, okay, one quick more thing on Robbie Gould. Let's just call that for what it's worth. That was a horrendous move to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no way to defend it.
There's probably more than that, too. You know,
the guy was here for 11 years. He's still only 34 now. He's still only 34. Kickers regularly go into their 40s. He's got a lot of time left in the NFL if he wants
it. He's got a lot of kicking left. If I'm him, I pick a team that is very close to the Super Bowl. But, you know what? There's a lot of young kickers coming in the league now.
Why don't they just reconcile that and have him come back next year?
Well, they're hoping Cairo Santos could be a long-term solution.
He is a lot younger, but I don't know. All right, so we got this game. Can't wait.
We just talked about how it was more compelling.
Well, the storylines are compelling, but you still got to watch it.
Yeah.
The 1-10 49ers and 3-8 Bears. The Bears are a 3-point favorite at home. This has gone down a little. I think they opened as like a 5-point favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll just give you my bold prediction.
Sure.
Bold predictions.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Is this bold? I don't know. Probably. First start, 49ers. Passer rating over 120 against the Bears. Pretty good defense. Yes, he's going to kill it.
120?
Yes, he's going to kill it.
I would say that's extremely bold.
Okay, fine. Over 105 or something like that.
That's a big difference you just did. No, okay. You stick to 120 there. Fine.
Hey, I bust your chops over your bold
prediction. Well, I'll help you because my bold prediction is he throws for 3 touchdowns.
Well, that would help the 120. Okay.
Which I believe is more touchdowns than Mitch Trubisky has this season. Is he still at 2?
Let's see.
You check that. I think Garoppolo has a good game. We're both on the same page there.
Yeah.
We'll make it bold.
Yes. No, 3.
He has 3. Yes. Okay.
No, 4. What's wrong with us?
When
today?
Did those happen?
He had one against Minnesota, the tipped one to Zach Miller, one against Baltimore. Why can't I remember that one? One against
that was a game Tariq Cohen threw one.
Yes, one against Green Bay and one against Detroit,
and one against the Saints that got wiped out.
Yes,
sorry to bring that up, but that was a touchdown. All right. Well, the big question to me is just how this defense continues to
devolve.
You know what? No, forget that. Let's see how Trubisky improves his mechanics. Does he bounce back with a big game? I think I don't know if he'll have a big game because I don't know if he has the weapons to have a big game. But let's see if he goes back to playing like he did against Green Bay and Detroit, which were two pretty good games for him.
Well, my big question is does John Fox finally let Dow Loggins coach and they completely open up the playbook for Mitch Trubisky? The 49ers are not a good defense.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No?
Why would it? Why would it change now? That was part of the reason why we talked on Sunday's show that the move had to be made on Monday. And they didn't do it, which doesn't surprise us. We didn't think it was going to happen.
Does Dow Loggins go rogue?
Just start calling random shit.
The 49ers are not a good defensive team. For all your Solomon Thomas's, Reuben Foster's of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we could... That's a whole nother podcast. You know?
When do you think the Vic Fangio press conference happens in San Francisco? January 1st or 2nd?
Nah, 3rd.
The 3rd?
Yeah, give him a little time to get out there. Pack up his house here.
I'm sure they'll have a press conference, by the way, unlike here where we don't get to talk to new coordinators until May.
I've sighed a lot in this podcast.
Yeah. We should pull that really long sigh he had. Just keep that handy.
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but...
Now, who are you picking?
Predictions.
I don't like what's happening at House Hall this week. And I do like that the 49ers are getting a major upgrade at quarterback, and I don't want to hear this C.J. Beathard stuff. C.J. Beathard, I watched him a lot in college. I was shocked they drafted him in the 3rd round.
Time out. Are John Lynch is allowed to have bad picks?
No, he's not.
I thought we were just supposed to praise what he does.
Yeah. Well, I killed him for that one at the time, and I also killed him for letting a running back talk him into drafting him.
Yes. Which he's no longer on the team, I believe.
I believe he's not.
Yes.
But he literally had a guy off his draft board that he talked to on the phone and let talk him into picking him in the 4th round.
Yep. And now he's not on the team.
I think the Bears lose on a Robbie Gould field goal.
Oh, you just want the movie ending.
Well, let's do it.
Well, what does he do for a celebration? Come on, he's got to do something.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
All right. I also like the 49ers. I'm not going to lock them up because they're got one win, right? Jimmy Garoppolo does upgrade some things, but it's his first start with this team. I think there's some – it's going to help, actually, him playing at home. I think that's going to help, you know, whatever. You get it. Trubisky's going to face, I feel like he might struggle in this game early on, just for whatever reason. You're right. I don't like the way things are trending with the Bears on and off the field. I'm going to go, Yeah, Grapple's only for 3 touchdowns. I don't know if he does that.
You said his passer rating would be 120.
I know.
Well, we know the defense isn't going to pick him off. They drop every interception they possibly get.
True that. All right, 24-17, 49ers.
24-17, a whole touchdown. You might as well lock him up with that one.
Siesta.
It's going to be a siesta Sunday at Soldier Field. All right, Joe, what do you got?
I got 17-14, 49ers. I don't really understand how the Bears could be favored. They play a little bit better at home, I guess, but they have not inspired anything these last couple weeks. And, I mean, that was as bad, as good as Philadelphia is. That was really a bad game on Sunday. Jimmy, we'll see what he does on Sunday. I'm not sure that the Bears have a whole lot to stop him, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's get to these other picks. It's been a long podcast. We'll run through them as quick as possible.
So this is my first time ever doing this. So, yeah, don't give me too hard of a time.
Mitch Unrein podium?
That was the start of Mitch Unrein's press conference Monday. Which kind of shows you where the Bears are at when they're bringing Unrein to the podium.
To me, it was they lose to Brett Hundley and the Packers. And that Monday, they trot out Dick Kwiatkowski and Adam Shaheen.
Yeah, that's true.
That just typifies the culture. Don't get me going.
But this one can be used in a lot of different ways.
So this is my first time ever doing this. So, yeah, don't give me too hard of a time.
Get your mind
sexy.
Oh, we're going there. All right. What do we got?
How big is the ramp?
I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick. Yeah.
Sexy.
What do you want?
Josh Sitton's in.
Oh, Sitton. Yeah. We'll save that one for
now. Okay. What are we picking?
We have a real game to talk about. Lions at Ravens. 2.5-point favorite, Baltimore. Lions coming off their Thanksgiving loss to the Vikings. The Ravens have looked better.
How's Matthew Stafford's ankle? Let's Google.
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like it was something he was going to be able to play with. He finished that game.
Still. And he practiced yesterday.
Yeah. It's a noon game Sunday on Fox. I'm a little surprised the Ravens are favored. I still don't think they're that good of a team.
Well, Joe Flacco's not that good of a quarterback. Elite.
I'm going to take the Lions here since they're getting the points.
I agree. I concur.
Make it 3.
All right.
Yeah, Lions coming off a little bit longer rest. Ravens short week, and like you said, Ravens just aren't really all that good.
Yeah. All right. Easy peasy.
Actually, my feet are very ticklish.
The Vikings head to Atlanta, and the Falcons are a 3-point favorite here. You surprised by that?
Yes. Yes. I don't think Atlanta's that good.
I'll tell you what. I've been on Atlanta for the last couple weeks. They're still dangerous, and I like that their offense is starting to figure it out.
How many passing yards or receiving yards did Julio Jones have last week? Like 245 or something like that?
Yeah, that's the thing. They're starting to figure it out down there with Steve Sarkisian.
Well, I don't think he's going to have 245 receiving yards against the Minnesota Vikings defense.
Correct. But I also think the Vikings just at some point got to be due for a loss.
I said that like 2 weeks ago. You know what? I am fully on the Case Keenum bandwagon right now.
Yeah?
Lock them up. They're getting the points.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Is it wise to be on the Case Keenum bandwagon?
I didn't want to be.
Probably not.
Yeah, I get it, Vic. I didn't like it 2 weeks ago, but now I'm like getting in the driver's seat. The guy can play ball. Pat Shurmur, keep an eye on him.
All right, well, if you're driving that bandwagon, then I'm jumping off. Because that just means
you were on at some point, and that was good.
Yeah, it was good for a while. No, he's playing well. I'm not going to take anything away from him. I just think the Falcons are starting to figure it out. They're at home. I'm a little surprised they're favored by as many as 3 points, but I'm going to take the Falcons here. Joe?
Case Keenum, NFC Offensive Player of the Month.
My man, Joe.
Wow.
Yeah.
was Zach great in the league, I think, but just saying, Adam, just saying.
Just saying. Xavier Rhodes, Julio Jones, that's going to be one to watch for sure on Sunday. I'm on the Falcons here. Like you said, Vikings are bound for a bump in the road, and there's going to be a little quarterback controversy for that NFC Offensive Player of the Month.
Oh, come on, Joe, you can't say all that, and then just throw Teddy Bridgewater in there.
Well, you know what? Mike Zimmer is not exactly putting it to bed.
Well, maybe it's part of the it's the fuel for the Case Keenum train. No? Okay.
That question don't make no sense.
All four, the Bears are still in the NFC North. All four NFC North teams are playing at noon Sunday. The other three are all on Fox. The Bears are on CBS. The fourth game here being the Buccaneers at the Packers. The Packers are a one-point underdog. I'm surprised by this after the good effort they had against the Steelers.
Yeah.
Buccaneers haven't been that good. They've been disappointing.
Talking about a coach change.
Is Jameis Winston back?
I don't know. Is he eating his fingers again? You see that?
The pregame thing where, that's from like Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Give me Brett Hundley. He played pretty well against the Steelers.
Did you just say the words, give me Brett Hundley?
Yeah, give me. Yes. I'm choking on my words right now.
You're the guy that was like killing Brett Hundley.
And I was still killing him.
You even brought him up on the postgame show against the Eagles.
I did. Brett freaking Hundley.
Yeah. Jameis Winston is starting in this game.
Who cares? Anyway, Brett Hundley, my guy Brett, 17 for 26 for 245 yards. Where is it? A passer rating of 134.3 and three touchdowns against the Steelers. Brett freaking Hundley.
I still think that if there's any way Aaron Rodgers gets back, that he's going to play. And this is a big game. They have to win these next two to make that any... They got the Browns next week. So it's doable if they beat the Bucs.
Yep.
I think they realize that. I'm taking the Packers.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm off the Brent Hundley bandwagon. You know, like I said a couple weeks ago, I don't care how well he played last week. I'll never bet on that guy again. That's it.
All right, so you're taking the Bucs.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think, well done, it'd be well said.
All right. By the way, for the record, we're not picking the Dolphins. I'm done with the Dolphins. Bye-bye.
I heard Jay Cutler had an ornery press conference, though, today.
Oh, did he?
This is Jay Cutler.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Sorry, we're done with them.
Okay.
The Panthers are at the Saints. This is a good game.
It is a very good game.
Saints, 4.5-point favorite in New Orleans, coming off that loss to the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
This is the late afternoon game, 3:25 Sunday on Fox.
How did the Bears beat the Carolina Panthers?
Like they did, and they completely dominated them.
Yeah.
That was probably
the Jackson game, I know.
That was the peak of the Bears' defense this season, that game.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was healthy. Not everybody, but most of these guys were healthy. They played very well against Cam Newton.
Yeah, they did. I'm going to take the Saints.
Okay.
Even with the kind of a big spread, kind of a little rivalry game here. I don't know. Maybe I still have the Eddie Jackson moments stuck in my head and that Cam Newton's prone to certain things. Although, is Marshawn Lattimore still hurt?
I think so. But Cam really hasn't been that great, even though they've won four in a row.
Yeah.
He has had some tough moments.
Going in the dome. Yeah, give me the Saints. I think they rebound and they stake claim and they take sole ownership of first place in their division.
Yeah, I think coming back to the Superdome helps them. I think they take advantage of some of Cam's issues and they get this win. Joe?
Panthers, when they lost to the Bears, that's their only loss on the road. They've been dominant away from Carolina. I like the Panthers in a big way here, and you can go ahead and lock that up.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
They also lost to New Orleans 34-13 earlier this season at home, so a little bit of a revenge factor maybe in play there. All right, last game.
Hey, what we call Mitch? Pretty boy what? Pretty boy. Pretty boy assassin. That's his new nickname. That's what we call him, you know.
The last NFL game, for what it's worth. The Philadelphia Eagles coming off their 28-point victory. How many? Three games in a row they've won by 28?
Yeah.
That right?
Yeah. Oh, the Eagles? 51-23 over the Broncos. 37-9 over the Cowboys, and 31-3, that game we covered,
yeah,
over the Bears.
It's a little different going to Seattle.
Yeah.
That was a two-week West Coast swing the Eagles are about to go on. They're going to stay in California during the week before playing the Rams. And so this is important for them. This is really where they get tested. And they've been playing great. They're 6-point favorites on the road in Seattle, which reflects that. You don't see the Seahawks being 6-point underdogs very much at home. This is the Sunday night game, 7:30 on NBC.
Well, this is the Eagles' toughest stretch by far. The Seahawks are they're so banged up. So banged up.
On defense, it's like everybody's on IR.
Yeah, yeah. Richard Sherman. Cliff Averill. I mean, you go on and on and on. But it's a lot of points, though. I'm going to take the Seahawks just because of what that environment is. And Russell Wilson still has some magic in him, right? This seems like a game where he could really, again, state his case as a special player and have a good game against a pretty good Eagles defense. So I don't think the Seahawks are going to win, but 6 points. Yeah, give me them.
You think they'll cover at home?
They'll cover.
I like the argument. I think maybe a little bit of a reality check for the Eagles, even though I think they're really, really good. But here's the thing about the Seahawks. I'm impressed they're still 7-4 given all the injuries, especially on defense. But let's go through their schedule since week 7. They beat the Giants on the road. Congratulations, the Giants are terrible. They beat Houston in that awesome game in Seattle where Deshaun Watson was still healthy. So I'll give them full credit for that win. But the next week, they lose to the Redskins at home. They go on the road, beat Arizona. Arizona's not very good. They come home, they lose to Atlanta.
By 3.
Atlanta's good. It was close game, but they did lose at home. They've lost their last two home games. Then they go on the road and they beat San Francisco in a game that was a lot closer for a long time until they kind of pulled away late, and then Garoppolo had that garbage time touchdown at the end. I'm just saying, it hasn't always been impressive. I think...
Well, they're not what they are.
Right.
Or what they have been, I should say.
I think this is a game that's close for a long time that the Eagles pull away and just barely cover. I wouldn't, if I was putting real money on this game, I would.
Like a late field goal and like with 5 minutes left, it pushes
like
it
they
over.
Win by 9 or 10 points.
Okay, fair enough.
One of my favorite stats that I heard this week was that Zach Ertz is the first 100-yard receiver for the Eagles. He got that against the Bears. That's crazy that a NFL MVP front runner basically is spreading the ball around that much, where like he has all the stats, but nobody, he doesn't have a Julio Jones. He doesn't have an Antonio Brown. But with that being said, 6 points, prime time at the Hawks Nest. I'm going to take Seattle on the points. Just I see it kind of playing out like that Atlanta game. The Houston game. Both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, where there's just lots of points scored and they stay close enough to cover six.
Yeah, and I get that argument, especially because it's a Sunday night game there in Seattle. I would just say I think that this defense is a lot different than when Deshaun Watson put up all that points and they're still kind of struggling there. So I don't know. It'll be an interesting, fun Sunday night game. But that being said, let's talk about the games that really matter this weekend. It's Championship Saturday. I'm heading down to Indy.
Yeah?
Family's going. My dad's going. Krista's family's going.
What are you going to wear?
It's going to be a whole road trip down to Indy.
What are you going to wear?
Face paint.
What do you mean? What am I going to wear? I don't know.
You got to have something planned. You can wear that helmet.
Actually, that helmet has like a bar in it. It's for display only.
Okay.
All right. I don't know what I'm going to wear. Why are you asking me what I'm going to wear?
You're going to a big game.
Body paint.
Sexy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I always look like.
Body paint. I've grown up, you know. I'm 31 years old.
Yeah.
The only makeup I put on my face is when I go on TV. All right, let's start in the SEC before we get to the big one in Indy, at least in my opinion. Now, this is probably the biggest game of the day, huh? Number 6, Georgia at number 2, Auburn. I mean, this is a great championship Saturday. Mm-hmm. All the games have implications on the playoffs, at least the four big ones on Saturday. We only picked 3, so we'll skip over the Big 12 championship game, although I will just say I think Oklahoma wins. They took care of TCU last time. But starting at 3 o'clock Saturday on CBS, you're going to want to be glued to your couch. It's number 6, Georgia at number 2, Auburn. The Tigers coming off back-to-back wins over number 1 team. Well, they did have a cupcake in the middle there, but they had 2 wins in the last 3 weeks yep. over number 1 teams, including
Red Hot
Georgia.
That's just a big win. They kicked the crap out of them.
Yeah.
40-17.
So then why is the spread only 2.5, Adam Johns?
I don't know.
Here's the deal. It's hard to beat a team twice in the same season, especially a good team, and Georgia's still good. This game is not being played at Auburn. It's being played in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia country.
Yep, right in the middle.
So, yeah, right in the middle of the state of Georgia. That is geographically accurate.
Yes.
Congrats to us on that one. I like Georgia. I don't know why.
To win?
I think they actually win outright. I don't know why. It's sort of a gut feeling here. But since they're getting the 2.5, picking the spread, I'm definitely going to take Georgia. This thing could go either way. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a lot closer than what we saw. The thing, I hate even saying this because I don't want to take away anything from Auburn's 2 wins over number 1 teams.
Yep.
They're great wins, and they're both impressive wins. That game against Alabama wasn't as close as the score indicated. They dominated Alabama.
Yep.
But they were both at home. Both teams were ripe for a loss at the time. You could look at both games and be like, yeah, I could see Auburn winning.
Why, just in terms of where they were on the schedule?
Where they were on the schedule. It's a road game. It's the hardest game of the year. Especially Alabama's been banged up for a few weeks. You could look at Alabama and see they got weaknesses here on defense. There's certain guys that are hurt. Their quarterback's not really good. I just think that this is a different atmosphere, sort of a reality check. Not that Auburn's not good. I'm not trying to say that. I like Georgia in this
I'm game. A believer in what Auburn has accomplished.
Okay.
Say what you want about Alabama's quarterback. The guy has played some – he's had some impressive moments over his career. He was a freshman last year, blanking on his name for whatever reason. Still loaded with NFL draft talent. I like Auburn. Yep, going Auburn.
I just don't understand how a 40-17 game turns into a 3-point spread, 2.5-point spread.
Makes you think. By the way, you're talking about Jared Stidham.
Yeah, the former Baylor Bear.
Yeah, Johns couldn't think of the quarterback's name. Jared Stidham. Yeah.
I mean, not that Atlanta is exactly Athens, but it's close enough. I'm not a line maker, but I think this number should have been a little bit higher. So considering it is just a field goal, I'll take the Dogs.
The Dogs.
How about them Dogs?
Yeah. That's something we should add to this soundboard. Remember the Coastal Carolina coach? Talking about the Dogs. We got to pull that. You don't remember this?
No.
Oh, my God. We'll find it. It's so worth playing over and over and over again forever. All right. We move on to the ACC Championship. This game being played 7 p.m. Saturday on ABC. And another big one. Another play-in game, basically. An extension. I got to say, I a lot of times where I just by default want to say, hey, there should be 8 teams in the playoff. But these conference championships are so meaningful
There almost is a playoff.
It is, and we saw this a couple times. The Michigan State-Iowa game a couple years ago, mm-hmm. that was a play-in game. Same thing here. Miami loses last week to Pitt, kind of exposed them. Clemson, I will not give them a pass for losing to Syracuse, but they are incredibly good at football. They might be the best team in the country.
Clemson?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've said it a couple times on this podcast. They're up there with the reloaders. They're that good. I mean, you lose Deshaun Watson, a guy who was there for, started 3 years, national championship, and you're still in this position. Yeah. You're still a one-loss team. Yeah, you're up there with Alabama in terms of how you reload.
So it's a 9.5-point spread.
Yeah.
Clemson's big favorites, the game being played in Charlotte.
Yeah. I'm not sold on Miami yet. Even that win over Notre Dame didn't do it for me because I don't think Notre Dame is particularly good.
Here's the deal about Miami. They've been doing this all season.
Yeah, and that Pittsburgh loss was just, I don't know.
Well, that's what I was, they play down to their competition.
Yeah.
They play up to their competition. So I don't necessarily think they're going to beat Clemson, but 9.5 points, I think they're able to cover. Now, that being said, I thought South Carolina was going to play Clemson tough last week, too, and Clemson blew them out.
Yeah.
And it could have been a lot worse.
Clemson's got a very good defense.
That's the thing. So I'm going more off the fact that Miami's played up to some really good teams this year, gotten the job done. I don't think they've played a team as good as Clemson, though.
No.
So actually, you know what? I'm changing this. I'm taking Clemson.
Me too.
They're playing
too.
So good right now, and this is by far the best team Miami's played. So I'm taking Clemson. Joe?
Where'd you say the game is being played?
Charlotte.
So not Miami?
So not Miami.
Yeah, this is a route, dude. This is a route.
Wow. Miami did win at Virginia Tech.
Not impressed.
Fair enough. All right. Good response. All right. Should we get to the game that really matters? The only game of the weekend that matters? What are you doing over there?
Research.
Okay. Number 8, Ohio State.
Go ahead. I just want to marvel in your analysis of this game.
Johns is Buckeyes. Mm-hmm. You are a Buckeye fan.
I am.
Joe, is there anything worse in the world than being a Buckeye fan?
No. Not even close. Come on.
You say sounded like Mike Glennon there.
Yeah, he did.
No.
All right. Buckeyes, number 8. Maybe an outside chance to sneak in the playoff. I think it's tough when you look at the teams ahead of them. And Alabama is probably going to sneak in if enough teams lose. So I think that's tough for Ohio State to do. By the way, just a point, if there is an 18-team playoff, that game that Alabama played last week, better for them to lose because they would easily be in an 8-team playoff right now, and they don't have to play the extra game in the SEC championship. Whereas if they lost again this week, they could potentially be out of it. So you're talking about the Iron Bowl, Alabama-Auburn, where it's in Alabama's best interest to lose. That is a situation you do not want.
No, no.
So that's something you have to keep in mind when you scream for an 8-team playoff. This 4-teamer has gone better than I thought, and I'm coming around the idea of just sticking with it. Anyway, Ohio State, Wisconsin, the Badgers, everyone says it, have not played anybody all season. I would disagree with that. They haven't played a top-end team. That is accurate. And their three toughest games, Northwestern, Michigan, and Iowa, which I think are all good wins, were all played at home. Fair points to bring up. But should they be 6.5-point underdogs to a Buckeye team that got blown out by Oklahoma, got blown out by Iowa, has been pretty inconsistent this year?
Yeah, very inconsistent. Concerns in quarterback?
Yeah.
Apparently JT Barrett underwent arthroscopic knee surgery.
And is still going to play?
Yeah.
Can we, by the way, Urban Meyer, why don't you calm down? What is wrong with you?
Oh, there's going to be an investigation. We're going to find the guy who got him.
Settle down.
The sniper photographer on the sideline.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
Photographer bumped into your quarterback. Obviously, he had some kind of knee issue already going on.
Mm-hmm. Find more space to throw. Part of me is actually rooting for the Badgers. Forget about analysis here.
Why is that?
Because I've always hated it when Big Ten teams get trashed.
Yeah.
Like, I literally reveled.
They are getting disrespected.
Yes, yes. I don't like it. I've grown up rooting for Big Ten football. Not Illinois, but Big Ten football. Mm-hmm. Like a couple of years ago when Ohio State did win it all. And Ezekiel Elliott went wild in the college football playoff with his speed. You know, he was tweeting, how about that for speed? And he was taking shots at everybody. Yeah. I love that. I thought they were, of course, I had family on Ohio State playing at that time. Became a national championship, my cousin. But I just love the statement, you know, that the SEC is not this all-powerful, omnipotent being. It bothers me that Wisconsin's getting kind of dragged through the mud right now. So I would like them actually to win. I'm showing some bias, whatever. I'm picking the Badgers in this one.
You're going to pick the Badgers?
Yes.
You know, here's the thing that not a lot of people realize. ESPN has something called strength of record.
Mm-hmm.
Not strength of schedule, strength of record. Now, it has to do with strength of schedule, but it actually measures the wins and how you handle that strength. I love strength of record. I think it's a great measurement. Their strength of record is better than Auburn's. And it was better than Alabama's before Alabama lost last week.
Yep.
It was not just now that Alabama's lost, but actually before last week's game. And that's what's so annoying right now. Alabama loses, and there's still so many people that are like, well, they should still be in the playoff. They're still one of the top four teams. They just are. Just look at the talent. This cannot just be about recruiting. Yes, I understand they have five-star players up and down their roster. And on paper, they're probably still the best team in the country. But it's still the results matter.
Can we say something, too? I think Wisconsin puts a lot of pros, or produces a lot of pros itself. Yeah. It's offensive linemen, various linebackers every year, certain, you know, defensive players of the year.
Yeah. I read a pretty funny, it wasn't meant to be funny, but there was a story going around yesterday that, where was it? I forget who wrote it, and I apologize for not having the exact source. But it was basically about Wisconsin's recruiting and trying to figure out why their recruiting style isn't respected the way that, you know, like the SECs are or Ohio State's or whatever.
Yeah.
And my dog's chiming in on this one. Good for her. But the story did not even address the idea that, hey, maybe you're rating these recruits wrong.
Yeah.
It didn't take any accountability for the fact that, hey, maybe you're looking at these high school players wrong, and maybe they're just doing a good job of evaluating the players that fit their program.
I can't tell you how many, four or five stars. When I used to do high school sports before I worked my way up at the Sun-Times, we do all these features on these four-star kids, whatever, from Rivals, whatever the ranking was.
Yeah.
None of these kids panned out in college. A lot of these kids with like the two stars that went places, they pan out to be some of the best players, right? Wisconsin has an identity. They know what they are, and they find kids to fit that identity. And a lot of them go on to your Travis Fredericks of the world, best center in the NFL.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt. Chris Borland. Throw him in there, you know?
Until he retired. And Joe Thomas. Maybe the greatest offensive lineman ever.
Yes. You have pros playing at. They might have the best tight end in the country.
T.J. Watt's immediately become a weapon for the Steelers.
Yes. So they know what they are, and they find players that fit that profile.
Here's why I'm picking Wisconsin to certainly at least cover the spread.
Because you're wearing a helmet and a hoodie and Wisconsin pants.
Sure. I mean, that's fine. If you want to throw the bias at it, I'll accept it. I went to school there. But here's the deal. Yeah, I was listening to the Wisconsin postgame show when I was driving back from Illinois. I was in Champaign Saturday. Northwestern played Illinois. And I had to rush to O'Hare to catch my flight to Philly. And didn't see any of the game, so I was listening to the Wisconsin postgame show. And they had a caller call in. And this caller was great. You know, he's basically bringing up the same points, like they're being disrespected, blah, blah, blah. And he's a fan, so you know, there's some bias. But he had a great point. He looked at the entire Wisconsin team, and he goes, what have they done wrong this year? They have an outstanding running game. They have a great offensive line. They have good wide receivers. They have a quarterback that, yes, has turned the ball over, but every second half in every game has stepped up and made huge throws. Their defense is outstanding. Their coaching is outstanding. Yeah, he went, the special teams is great. Like, he went through, and it's like, okay, so maybe they aren't five-star recruits everywhere, but where is their weakness?
Yeah.
They do have one weakness, and that is their quarterback, Alex Hornibrook, has turned the ball over, mostly in the first half. But I prefer to have mistakes in the first half than the second half. I don't know about you.
Well, yeah.
And, of course, there's this thing that can't get out of my head, which was being inside Lucas Oil Stadium 2 years ago. You brought up the Ohio State team that went on to win the national championship. Wisconsin played Ohio State, Big Ten championship. JT Barrett was hurt. Cardell Jones came in. The game was over by halftime. Yeah. It was a blowout. Yeah. I think this is a, first of all, that team was coached by Gary Anderson. All right.
This was
3 years ago.
This Ohio State team, well, good. Those two classes that Ohio State was feeding off of that year.
Yeah.
Loaded.
Yeah.
Loaded team. That was a loaded. Look how many pros were produced off those 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. I'm trying to get that game out of my mind because that Ohio State team was better. And Wisconsin's coach left 2 days later.
Yeah.
There were some things going on there that none of us knew at the time of that game. Paul Chryst isn't going anywhere on Monday, okay? I think Wisconsin wins outright. I think that they've just been so consistent all season long. I don't see why that's going to change. And here, I'll just also give you one other factor. Last year, their defense, which is outstanding right now and was good last year, but they got disrespected twice. When JT Barrett kicked their ass in the fourth quarter at Camp Randall, and in the Big Ten championship game against Penn State, when they had a halftime, I think they were up at halftime, but it was an awful second half. They ended up losing, and the defense just looked miserable all of a sudden out of nowhere. So you think about those two things in their mind right now as they go into this game. I do not think they let that happen again. Joe?
You got to give credit where it's due, regardless of schedule. And I know you brought up the great stat about strength of record. JTT has been awesome. Just watching the Michigan versus Wisconsin game, Hornibrook made some monster throws, third down and long completions. It's hard to go undefeated in a Power 5 conference. And, all that being said, Ohio State's just going to rip my heart out and cover the spread and go to the playoff and who knows what else.
Sorry about that loss.
I think Wisconsin makes it a very long day for JT Barrett, where they may have to be forced to make a quarterback change because he's playing that bad.
The kid who came in played pretty well.
That's what I'm worried about because this happened 3 years ago, and Cardell Jones came in and lit him up.
History may repeat itself, but that's so flukish.
Apparently, that kid who came in is like a real NFL prospect.
Yeah, well,
I was talking to some people, and they're like, yeah, that dude, like, they're out there running the option, but did you see the throw he had, that big-time throw downfield? I don't want him playing. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'd rather have JT Barrett. Well, with one leg. It's like Sam Bradford against the Bears earlier this year.
See?
Just don't put Case Keenum in.
Yeah. Back on the bandwagon. Love it.
Case Keenum. All right. Long, but kind of amazing we got this much juice out of this podcast for a week in which.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah. But hey, we're grinding. I'll tell you what, though, in 4 hours, I'm about to shut this baby down and enjoy my weekend before being back at Soldier Field Sunday.
What time are you coming back?
Early.
What if they win?
What if Wisconsin wins?
Yeah.
Doesn't make a difference.
Come on, you're not going to party it up in Minneapolis?
No, I got to get up and drive back to Chicago. I still take my job seriously. Plus, that game doesn't end till like midnight there. It's on so late.
True.
Just go right to bed. Get up, watch the Bears and 49ers. Can't wait.
Yeah, man, who wants to get tackled?
All right, follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Joey Joe Rowe, it's our producer, Joe Romano, on Twitter. WGNradio.com/Bears. My 10 Bears things are up. ChicagoSunTimes.com. You can catch Johnsy stuff pretty much every day. We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. Search Hogan Johns. We're on the WGN Radio app. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll be back Sunday. Voicemail line 312-222-5050. Hope you chime in there. Bears 49ers. Hopefully it's interesting. Garoppolo versus Trubisky. We'll talk to you Sunday after the game.
So this is my first time ever doing this. So, yeah, don't give me too hard of a time.